Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, WWE Universe in the Philippines. This is Charlotte, and you're with Stan, Roe, and Raph on the SGP podcast. Woo!
Are you ready? You're listening to the SGP podcast.
You are listening to the longest running weekly episodic Filipino wrestling podcast. This is the SGP podcast. It's just me this week, Stan C at your service, no Ro Moran, he's under the weather, no Raph Camas, he's being held hostage at work. So I'm recording right now at the Wave 89.1 studios, but still using my own equipment, using the Wave acoustics, so it kind of sounds a bit different from how we normally sound at Balay Camos or at my parents' condo or wherever else we've been recording over the past year since I left Mellow 94.7, so it's kind of a new sound, and it also feels good at the same time because it's been a while since we've recorded the podcast in a proper studio setting. So I'm really thankful that I get to do this right here, and I'm also kind of bracing myself because this means I'm going to have to stay here, spend the night here, and then wake up at 4 in the morning to do the head start tomorrow at 5. But, you know, that's tonight and that's tomorrow morning. For now, though, I've got a very special podcast this week because we're being joined by one of the hottest rising stars in PWR today. He is the current All Out War champion, and he's someone that a lot of people have been very intrigued by, especially when he was teaming with Mike Madrigal as one half of the Deadly Sins. Please welcome to the SGP podcast this week, Mr. Vlad Sincic. How's it going, Vlad?
How's it going, guys? Nice to be here. This actually reminds me a little bit of the padded rooms that I am put in, which, I don't know, there's no windows, no door, no glass panel, but otherwise feels kind of like home.
So that's the Vlad Sincic persona, but the Vlad Sincic character, yeah, that people have come to associate with you. And for the longest time, nung nag-debut ka, you weren't even a speaking character.
True.
You're always just laughing, yung garalgal ng boses mo was very distinct, but it took a while before you even got on the mic and spoke.
Yes.
Right, so was that by design?
That was by design. That was by choice. I chose to kind of shroud the Vlad character behind some sort of mystic. Why does he not speak? I wanted people to be curious as to why I was like that before I gave them a taste of like how it is that I actually, when I do speak, when I let out words. I like to think that I'm, well, Vlad would be a soft-spoken person, but when he speaks, there's a lot of substance to what he says.
It's kind of like, I guess, the latter half of The Undertaker's career. Mm-hmm. He didn't really speak a whole lot, diba? But whenever he spoke, it was always something with gravitas.
Right.
Right. So, okay, so that was by design. But, you know, for people who've been attending PWR shows all the way back to the MCS days or the iAcademy days, they probably recognize you as the boot camper with a really thick beard.
Standing by the entranceway. Yeah.
So that was always where you were positioned.
Always.
Bakit dun?
I don't know. Maybe because crowd control would most likely make sense if the bigger people guarded the entranceway so people didn't check into the backstage and stuff like that.
And like nobody wants to mess with a big guy with a full beard. But
no.
It's intimidating by nature, right?
Yeah, yeah. So maybe that's like the failsafe.
But like, you know, knowing you behind the character and getting to know you as a person, having spent some time with you outside of what we do in PWR, it's very different. Like the grittiness of Vlad Sincic is very far off from how you come across in real life.
Yes, I would agree with that.
So okay, so like, where do you channel that? Because you know, knowing you, you are, you know, you do tend to be soft spoken, but when you do say stuff, rather, it makes sense, and it's not, you're not the mema type of person either. So like, how do you draw that guttural character that, you know, Vlad Sincic's all about?
Well, mostly it's, Vlad's character is centered mostly around what I don't usually do. Not to say that I'm not soft-spoken in real life, because I tend to choose when to speak, choose my words wisely, but, like, in the sense of, I don't really get to unwind in the same way that Vlad is very loose. You know, he's very unhinged. And normal day-to-day life, for me, is very organized, actually. So I guess that's just my way of breaking out of the norm of my day-to-day schedule and stuff like that, and then doing something different.
So let's bring it to your day-to-day schedule, your normal life. Yeah. What is it that you actually do?
A lot of it revolves around business. So it's interacting with people, trying to meet with suppliers, get the product, a lot of it revolves around that. But I am also currently, just very recently, this past sem, actually, I went back to school. And it's a big adjustment after over a decade, actually, since I last studied. So, yeah.
So you're balancing your time between handling your own business and being back at school. Is this a second degree or a master's degree?
No. I never finished college. Oh, so shit. I'm trying to get my degree now.
What is your major?
Psychology.
Okay. Damn. So it was like over a decade of being in school and being back in a classroom setting. You're what, in your late 20s, early 30s?
Entering 30s this year. Yeah.
Okay. So how's that like for you? You want classmates to a bar? Are they like a full decade younger then?
Most of them are. There's another dude that is in school. He's also around my age. So I don't know why he got delayed or what the story behind him is. But it's nice because there is no divide in the ages. Everything is natural. Interactions are natural. There's no bias or prejudice towards, oh, you're really old, I don't feel like I can talk to you. There's nothing like that.
Okay, so you know that's pretty cool to hear. Because when I was an undergrad, I do remember also being classmates with people who were in like their late 20s. Mm-hmm. And I would always think to myself, because I'm UPA, so I'm like, damn, right, these people are wasting other people's taxes. So it's always that stigma. But I assume that you don't go to State U, so you don't have that stigma following you. All right, at least, right?
At least.
Okay, so you seem to have a very organized schedule then if you're balancing business with your studies. So wrestling comes in for like most of the PWR guys once every Sunday.
Once every Sunday, yeah.
Right? And that's where you get to channel everything. It's an escape, right? For most of us.
It is.
Right? It's an escape. It's a release. And I am friends with you on your private Facebook account. Mm-hmm. And on some of your memories, lumalabas from like 2008, 2009, a lankier version of you attempting sentons and swanton bombs.
Swantons.
Right. So how did that come about? Like, have you always been playing wrestler even when you were in school?
Yes, that is a fact. Because so growing up, I started watching wrestling sneakily, right? My grandfather would be flipping through channels. He would land on wrestling and I would be like, oh, keep it there. I want to watch. And my parents were a little strict, so they wouldn't want me to watch. So I had to go behind their back to do that. And then growing up in school, actually, I don't really like telling this story. I'm not very proud of it, okay? But so I was a new student in this school, right? I just entered.
High school?
No, grade school.
Okay.
Third grade, new student. And then, so I had a friend, right? We were friends back then before the whole... Before everything happened. So we were friends, and then he was sitting in the waiting area of the school, right? And so there are benches mounted along the walls, and then the floor were kind of like, you know how the little pebbles are textured and stuff like that?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was the flooring. And me, number one, because I'm a wrestling fan, and number two, because I have ADHD. Spur of the moment, I just felt the need to do something, right? So I grabbed the guy, put his head in between my legs,
Jesus.
And I pedigree him.
Oh, God.
Right? So from what I watch in wrestling, no one ever gets seriously hurt from pedigrees, right? Because people know how to protect themselves and stuff like that. This guy was not a fan of professional wrestling. So he had no idea what to do in that situation. I hooked him up, and then I drove him down to the ground. And he actually hit his face on the ground. And he broke most of the bones in his face. He had to be rushed to the hospital. I got suspended. Only suspended, thankfully.
Like how long? A week? A month?
a month if I'm not.
What, the, what
yeah,
do you
if
do?
If I remember correctly.
Oh, when you're in grade three, you get to spend it for a month. What the fuck do you do for a month?
Nothing. No, I mean, like, they give you requirements still that you're supposed to do, right? But you can't be in school premises. I don't know how that makes sense. Mm. How is that a punishment to me? Because I get to chill at home, right? But, like, yeah, I don't know. That's the policy they implemented, so all right.
Okay, so when you came back to school, did you have this dark cloud hovering over your head? Now, oh, that's a motherfucker who pedigreed this so-and-so.
Not so much, actually, because most of my friends in the same batch, same class, whatever, they are also wrestling fans. So when I came back, I was greeted with, like, applause and adulation. He was like, yeah, pedigree, Triple H. I don't know. So people are crazy.
And you're not friends with this kid anymore.
There came a point where we talked again. That was still back then in high school. But, like, ever since that point, it was never the same.
So, Anyan, like, did he have, like, visible scars or, you know, marks on his face that never went away?
Actually, no. So, I'm guessing the surgeon did a really good job just reconstructing everything and, you know.
And they never sent you the bill?
I wouldn't know. I wouldn't know if my parents paid. They probably shelled out money for that, but I don't know how much. Or,
how did they react?
My parents?
Yeah, yeah.
With violence, much rage, and I don't know how to explain it, but, like, obviously they would attribute it to, oh, that's why we don't let you watch violent stuff like that, so mm-hmm. You know, blah 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 blah, typical parent stuff. So yeah.
So okay, let's talk about your background, because you did mention that you grew up in a very strict family setting, mm-hmm. right? So tell me about life growing up. What was home life like for you? What's family life like? Can you describe the level of strictness, or if it's conservative or whatever? Can you just take me through that?
Okay. This is a little tricky because, like, open to interpretation.
Okay.
To me, back then, it really felt like I was really repressed. Like, I couldn't do a lot of stuff. Considering that my parents are conservative Baptists. Mm-hmm. Sorry. So there was a lot of restrictions. Like, I couldn't play with toy guns.
Okay.
I couldn't watch wrestling or anything like that. Even, like, cartoons that had a lot of violence and fighting. Video games, I couldn't even say that I killed this person. It's always like, oh, no, killing is wrong. Just say you defeated someone. It was something along those lines. So if you can picture, like, stereotypical Christian, let's say Ned Flanders. If you can picture Ned Flanders as both my parents, that would be pretty on point.
Minus the diddly-doodly.
Yeah, minus that and the pedo stash, if you will. Right. So there came a point in time growing up where I would guess, like, most kids chose to do a little rebellion and stuff like that. So there was a time that I ran away from home without telling them.
How long were you gone?
A few days. And then they came looking for me at school. And then my barkada at that time, they were like, "Uy, di ba lolo mo yun? At saka dad mo yun?" Pero, come on, stop pulling my leg. And they were actually there. They were in the car. I was like, oh, crap. Okay, so they found me. So I had to go home, you know, and stuff like that. So,
Where did you stay?
Where do I stay? Blue Ridge B.
No, I mean, where did you stay?
Oh, where did I stay? Sorry. Yeah. where did I stay? Classmates' house. One of my classmates' house over at Sunwood.
Like, they just took you in?
Yeah.
And it was totally normal. Like, hey, I ran away from home. Can I crash at your place?
No, because the setting was, the first time I ran away, there was an event at school. Mm-hmm. And then they didn't allow me to go.
Yeah.
So they grounded me and stuff. And I was like, okay, well, if you're not going to allow me to go, I'll just leave and not tell you and not come home. And then maybe, you know, you guys will learn your lesson from that. Like I'm the one supposed to be teaching a lesson. So I did that. And then, so I told my classmate about it. And he was like, okay, fine. You can stay the night and stuff like that. And then a few days came. They were fine with it. And then there. It came to the point that my grandfather and my dad actually came to look for me there in the area. So I was like, oh, bummer. Freedom gone.
So, okay, so you come from that kind of background, and you would get your wrestling fix by, what, just sneaking out, like when your grandfather watched TV?
Originally was sneaking, but, like, at some point...
Did they just give up?
I think so, yeah. I wouldn't want to say they just gave up, but they, I guess they learned to trust that it wasn't that detrimental to, like, how children grow up and stuff like that, so...
Funny, like, did they watch it have an effect on you, or did they... did you tell them that, oh, you know what, I followed the story of so-and-so wrestler and I learned so-and-so values or something?
No, nothing like that. I mean, I never talked to them about, like, what I see in wrestling. No, nothing like that. I guess it really just was organic change that came about when they realized I was a certain age and I was like, ah, never mind.
Or I think it's kind of like how parents realize at some point that they can't stop you, right?
Probably, also that.
Like, I pretty much encountered the same resistance from my parents watching wrestling.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? So they would always catch me. And then eventually, you know, they realized that, oh, you know, whether or not we say anything...
You'll keep doing it.
Keep doing it, right. So sometimes it works to your benefit and everyone's benefit. Sometimes it works to your detriment long-term. Like, say, if you pick up a vice, right?
Right.
You're parang, oh, stop smoking. And then eventually you'll keep smoking anyway, right? Not realizing that it's going to fuck your lungs up.
Right.
So, yun. Okay, I get that. Okay, another... So, I want to ask about the ADHD, because you mentioned...
Oh, yeah,
it.
Yeah, sure.
Right? So, ADHD isn't a... The last D is disorder, right?
Mm.
Okay, so if it's classified as a disorder, how did you deal with it growing up? Like, did you ever have to take meds, or did you have to see a specialist growing up?
I did both. Like, at a certain point, they took me to a specialist, if you will, because I don't know if it was a legit psychiatrist or, like... Anyway, so they took me to a doctor who did some tests and stuff and confirmed that I did have ADHD. So at some point, they gave me the medicines that I was supposed to take daily, actually. But at some point, I realized that it didn't really help me.
Okay.
The meds, right? So I stopped it, and then they said coffee helps. The doctor said coffee helps, so drinking coffee helps. Instead of, how do you say this? It doesn't make me all energetic and whatnot. It just helps me focus.
Right, kasi attention deficiency na yung kalaban.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So, there.
So, okay. I'm not sure. Is there a connection between, like, say, ADHD and wrestling? Did it make it easier for you to, say, pick it up? Or did it make it harder for you to pick up?
With wrestling, it wasn't much of a factor.
Uh-huh.
In academics, it was.
Okay.
That's so, why, yeah. Like, up to this point, I'm not done with school, because ADHD was always, for me, it played a big role in, like, I would start off well, and then, like, midway, I would start to slow down, and then towards the end, I would be like, I don't get the point of this anymore. So, tatamay na lang todo, and then I would just kind of just give up on myself. But for wrestling, because I knew how passionate I was about it, and ever since I was a kid, I wanted to become a professional wrestler, so... It never got in the way of that.
So, for people who are listening who probably aren't familiar with the day-to-day struggle of ADHD, mm-hmm. like, how is it like, aside from, you know, you start off strong and then the interest and focus just tapers down as you go along? Like, how do you concretize that?
I don't know. Is there a way to?
Like, say, in a normal day setting, do you, is there a feeling of, say, your mind just racing around all over the place, or... you know, sensations like having a hard time sleeping or something. Sorry, I really don't know the specifics of people living with ADHD.
I have a hard time sleeping all the time.
Okay.
Like, more often than not, I can stay awake, have, like, a power nap, and be okay for the rest of the day. I'm an insomniac. Uh-huh. I don't know if that's just because I have insomnia or if it's attributed to ADHD causing that way. And then... What else? Before, it was worse. Definitely. Growing up, teenage years, it was worse. I felt like I was all over the place. My mind couldn't really focus on a lot of... Or like, one particular thing. It was, you know, jumping from here to there. Nowadays, not so much. It's a little more controlled. Yeah.
All right. Sige. So, okay, let's go back to the wrestling. And you said this is all you ever really wanted to do.
Yeah.
So, when you first... How did you hear about PWR in boot camp?
How did I hear about PWR? So, my friends, my longtime friends, two people who are part of the social media team, the Del Rosarios.
You see them around with the GoPro and the cameras
the ones,
around the ring.
Yeah, they're doing promotional stuff.
Yep.
So they're the ones who introduced me to PWR. They somehow stumbled upon PWR on Facebook.
Yeah.
And they were like, oh, okay, so there's a local wrestling promotion that does shows. And then, so we went to check out the shows. It was back in MCS. I don't remember specifically what show that was. But we went, we watched, and we enjoyed thoroughly. So we were enamored in the fact that here in the Philippines, there was something like this. And we only ever dreamed about, you know, seeing live shows. They got to see a couple of WWFX when they went here. They got to do a little meet and greet. Yeah. I never did, you know. So all the more for me, it was like, there's something here for us, you know, for the wrestling community in the Philippines. So I was ecstatic to find out. And then we kept going to the shows, attending. And then, I got to talk to Raf Camus, of all the people. Of all the people, Raf Camus back then was the ring announcer.
Okay.
Right? And then they were doing a press con at
the appraisery.
Formerly known appraisery, right? For Revo X. And then, so I waited until everyone left. I was just lingering in the back. I was waiting for my opportunity.
I can imagine how awkward that must have been.
Yeah, it was. It was awkward for me. It was awkward for him. And then I, at one point, just approached him. I was like, I'm pretty sure you noticed me just standing there. sorry about that. But I wanted to ask, like, how do you manage to get into PWR? Because, you know, this is all I ever dreamed about. And there. So he told me about boot camp.
Yeah.
He told me there would be a time where they would, the PWR would post on their Facebook page, and then they would be looking for people, and all I got to do is send in that I'm interested, and then they'll reply if they feel that I'm good enough or something.
Like, the, you know, the little stalking
screening process. So
screening slash stalking process.
Right.
Make sure you're not a creeper.
And then, there. So I waited for that time to happen, and then boot camp came around. So I tendered in my interest message, whatever it's called, I don't know. They said, okay, so they gave me the details of where to go, when to go, stuff like that. And then there, I showed up at boot camp. First day was really weird, but
like,
it was...
Like, how weird? Why weird?
Weird because there was a lot of people, right? Batch 5 is my batch, and they're all just... Everyone was trying to weigh each other out for some weird reason, right?
Like, it's kind of like you're sizing each other up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And these were just applicants. They weren't even, like, the wrestlers, you know? So when the wrestlers came around... the wrestlers.
No, sorry. It's fine.
Yeah, he was there, obviously. Yusuf Mir... Brian Leo, for those of you who are curious to who I'm pertaining to. Anyway, so he was there, obviously, being the president at the time. Yes.
Yeah, because he was notorious for showing up late to training, right?
Yes.
So it was his way of feeling out the other people to see how they would react to the president being late.
That is what he said.
Right, which is a load of bullshit.
He was like, I went late on purpose so that people I'll see if people respect me. And I don't understand the logic behind that rationale. Like, that doesn't make any sense. Just say that you're late, you're sorry, you know. And it's not very... It's
professional.
Not, yeah, it's not professional. It's unbecoming of someone who holds the stature of president, right?
I just gotta say, like, I was about to say, oh, you know, on Chris Jericho's podcast, they have a Dusty impression tradition.
Right.
I was about to say, oh, you know, we can start, like, a new tradition here where you impersonate
Is it new? Haven't people been doing this?
Well, people have been doing this, right? So, like, but you just went out ahead and did it yourself. I didn't even have to fucking prop you. Props to you, dude. All right, so, okay, so batch 5, that's your boot camp batch.
Right.
Sini Sini and my partner in batch 5 who are now on the main roster.
On the main roster now are Dax Oliveira, Alexander Belmonte III, Robin, Martivo, who else? I don't even remember who my batchmates were. I'm drawing a blank, sorry.
But those are, a lot of those were the guys who debuted at RevX 2016 and the Showdown. That was your crew.
Yes.
Right, so you joined boot camp, basing it on your timeline, like mid-2015?
September of 2015.
And it took you a little under a year to finally debut on the main roster. So how was training like for you? Because for some people, boot camp is a breeze. In like 2-3 months, they're on the main roster, like a John Sebastian. And then there are people who've been there forever, like Araf Camus.
Right.
And you kind of fall somewhere in between where you were only really there for less than a year. So mm-hmm. How was that experience like for you? And what did you go through during that time?
Starting off, it was very challenging for me because, like, my body's not used to the amount of conditioning and just the battering that it takes, right, when you train or become a professional wrestler.
My athletic background, ka ba?
Yes, I did, like, basketball. I was varsity in volleyball. I did badminton, but, like, nothing full contact.
Okay.
Aside from basketball, may sikohan, ganyan, balyahan.
But you're like, big. Or right. I assume you played big.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was not comfortable playing big, though, but because of my height and stature, you know, that's where people put me.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it was something I needed to get used to.
Yeah.
I think same is for everyone. It mm-hmm. takes a while. But like, when training was ongoing, I like to think that I would, how do you say this? I would think how theoretically things should be done.
Yeah.
Before I put them into execution. And people always ask me, like, why was it so easy for you to just get how it's done? Because, like, from the beginning, even on day one, like, they were saying, I'm a prospect for, like, oh, this guy's showing potential.
I think it helped that you had the look, eh? Diba? Like, you had that
Luke Harper look?
Yeah. Frankly, right? Napaka brusco nung itsura, eh? Full beard, and, you know, you don't look young like the rest of us. And I'm not saying as to throw shade on you. It's actually a compliment. Because, let's face it, we're a company of millennials.
Yes.
Right? I don't think there are only like one or two people over the age of 40 in PWR.
Mm.
So, in terms of like our average age, it's pretty young.
Yeah, it's pretty
startup young. Patayo. So, it's easy for people who are traditional big wigs in suits to take us lightly. Because, oh, you guys are young, right? So, to have someone like you who doesn't look like a fresh grad out of college,
right.
I would call that an asset because of how you look. So I would say that the look put you gave you like two steps above everyone else from the get-go.
I would think so. The aesthetic definitely helped. And until now, actually, it helped because people, they come up to me and be like, you look like a wrestler because you are a wrestler, right? And so the look helps.
Right, like, I don't want to throw shade at someone like Bolt. But, like, there's a reason why Bolt gets the criticism he gets.
Because he looks like he's still in grade school.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right? Again, it's not to throw shade at Bolt.
Right.
It's just really calling a spade a spade.
Yes.
And, Bolt looks very young because he is young.
He's young, lanky
and wiry.
Mm.
Right? So, and the fact that his hair is all colored because of his weebness in real life and in kayfabe, right? Easy to call him a child.
Right.
And then, compared to someone like you who really looks like a mama.
Mm.
So, was that deliberate? Like, is that really how you look even before you joined PWR?
Yes. This is always how I am. I'm more comfortable having a full face of hair instead of head, because I can't say that. But, like, full face of hair. I mean, it only got uncomfortable, and I let go of it. Like, but I would never fully take it off. It will only be trims. I would trim it really short. Papadami ko sa barbero pag nagpapagupit ako, ganun. Pero... I was always very comfortable with this look, and I liked it because, like, most people aren't able to grow, like, a full beard.
I'm fucking jealous, dude.
Right?
Like, I can only grow this goatee.
Yeah.
That's it. Like, I can't grow a full mustache. I have that Chinese Mr. Shuli look.
Nice.
Right? So, no, like... not nice. I want the full beard. Like, if I could grow a full beard like yours, I fucking would.
Right. But, no, that's the thing, right? So, that kind of... I guess I took pride in the fact that this was very natural for me and just happened. I didn't have to try to grow my beard thick and stuff like that. So I liked the look and I kept it growing up. So this started growing out actually. Mustache started growing out at around grade 5, if I'm not mistaken.
I think that's how it is. Pag mabalbon kang tao.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it starts young, and then, like, you start shaving because the school requirements, diba?
Right.
And you have to have a clean face. So the more you shave, the more it starts to grow and thicken and shit, right? But, like, have you ever tried to make your beard grow as thick as, say, James Harden?
I have tried. I've tried, but it doesn't grow out in length or in fullness.
Okay.
I don't know what to call it. But, like...
And you can say manipis yung hair?
No, it only reaches a point, and then it feels like it's not growing anymore. Because James Harden's has a shape to it, right?
Yeah.
Mine just kind of poofs in all directions at some point.
So even if you groom it?
Even if I groom it.
So what's the reaction been at home and, like, say, with your loved ones? Like, oh, you know, like, si Vlad, mukhang mamang mama, right? Like, how do you get over that?
It's not so much the mama comments that get to me. It's always like, oh, mukhang terrorista. If you went into, like, the airport, people would probably, you know, not let you go on a plane because you look like that. And that's very... Just so you know, I'm pretty sure you're not listening right now, family and relatives, but that's racist. It's stereotyping and it's wrong. But
have you ever had like random moms tell their kids, oh, kukunin ka ng mama pag
no, no, nothing like that naman. Thankfully, people have... Oh, geez, I can only imagine. I'm actually expecting it now that you bring it up.
No, but like,
at some point.
Like the generation above us, right? Yung mga moms natin, the titas, pag makulit ka, kukulit ka ng Bombay. Right?
Yeah,
you have those comments. And it's very bigoted, but that's what they grew up on. Like, I'm not excusing it, but that's the paradigm in which they grew up.
Yeah.
So it's pretty fucked up.
It's culturally a norm, I think. Even like how yayas would threaten their mga alaga nila na parang halo ko, papakuha ko sa guard, papakuha ko sa mumu.
Right.
I don't know. I never understood why. But like, I guess fear is a good motivation.
Or like
sometimes.
Fear keeps them in check.
Yeah, yeah.
Like I've heard that from parents before. Now, if you don't make them afraid, they're never going to learn how to be disciplined. Which is... kind of weird, then, because you also push them away to like encourage them to rebel.
Yeah, yeah, that's a gray area.
Yeah, so it you have to like balance it. I wouldn't know. I'm not a parent.
Right.
I don't plan to be one anytime soon. But like knowing what we know now about, say, prejudice and the way you treat people in general, diba, it kind of makes you look at the way we were raised through a different lens.
Yeah, for sure.
Anyway, all right. Let's get back to the wrestling. So. Who were your influences, you know, when you were trying to learn and pick up the craft?
What do you mean by influences, though?
Like, who were the wrestlers you watched, say, in WWE or other promotions? And maybe locally, like, if there was a local wrestler you wanted to emulate somehow?
Growing up, it was mostly just WWE. WWE, WCW was also on cable TV at some point, and then after Shane bought them out, which I got to witness on TV, no more WCW. And then I got to see some TNA also, the more recent years of TNA.
So, like, which ones? Can you identify, say, certain wrestlers or certain matches that made you go, all right, I want to do it this way?
Styles versus Angle, TNA. Yeah, that was the one that was really memorable to me in TNA. WWE idol growing up was the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
Mm-hmm.
In my opinion, he was just the best all-around performer. Not just in the ring, how he portrayed emotion, how he drew emotion from the crowd, how he could tell a story. I just feel like he was unparalleled. So HBK is a really big inspiration of mine.
How about from the current crop? Say, you're a fixture at the viewing parties.
Right.
Like, a lot of the PWR guys, you know, you're part of the crew that always takes up, like, a couple of booths.
Right.
For whom do you mark out the most?
Nowadays?
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
say, at a viewing party, you know, when this person comes out, you're like, yeah, that's my guy, or that's my girl.
Right now, guys would be Cesaro and Sheamus. I really like the dynamic. But, like, even as individual singles competitors, I was fans of both of them. Elias.
Wow.
I'm really big on Elias right now.
I see their semblance.
Yeah. It's not so much, like, how we look. But, yeah, I appreciate how he works in the ring. And, you know, people never saw him as the kind who would get over with the crowd, yeah. Especially back in NXT.
I was like, a hater.
Right. You were?
I was a hater in NXT. Like, I was like, oh, this guy would fail. I hate this guy. He doesn't know his gimmick, la, la, la. It comes up on Raw. I'm like, fuck, I love this guy.
I was a fan of Elias back in NXT. I felt like he was very underrated, and people didn't appreciate what he was doing. And then just he got the opportunity to shine once he was called up to the main roster. And now people are seeing, like, oh, this guy's legit.
Yeah, it's for real.
Oh, legit. Taboo word. Anyway.
All right. So, okay. You debuted at the Showdown against Rafi Mabayashi. That was a great match. I loved when you pulled out the Muscle Buster. Because that was also the time that people had this stigma towards that after the Tyson Kidd incident.
Right.
So did you ever have that fear in that, oh shit, I might fuck up and ruin someone's life or their career forever?
The thought has come across my mind. Like, you can't not think about that, especially after you saw the video of it happening. But, like, I can't continue to just linger around that thought because that would stifle me. I like doing the Muscle Buster. It's a nice move. People appreciate it. Not just the people I'm working with, but the people watching. And as much as possible, I take constant effort to make sure that it's safe for the people who are taking it. So there, it's not that I completely erase it from my mind.
Yeah.
But yeah, constantly I'm thinking about just making sure that people are safe.
So your career goes along, you know, you start picking up win after win, and people take notice of you because you got unique look, and then you had that maniacal grin on your face all the time, and you had that enigma to your character. So from that point, you know, you're trying to fine-tune yourself, diba?
Right.
Where does Mike Madrigal come in, and how does Deadly Sins come about?
Mike Madrigal, my ex. Ex-partner. So we were paired together because there was an up-and-coming tag team tournament, right?
Yeah,
to
for
crown
FX.
The first ever PWR Tag Team Champions. It was very out of the blue, this pairing, because he had his program. He was the brash, cocky, Kupal guy, right?
Yeah.
And he was kind of feuding with FRH. At the time.
Right.
He was feuding with FRH. And I was... I guess there was no real direction to my character at that point. Because I was being fed people. But I didn't have something concrete to do. And I guess they realized that it would kind of make sense to put me in the program. Because Mike was looking for a partner. He was feuding with both members of FRH. And he didn't have anyone. And I wasn't doing anything substantial.
Hey, let's put this crazy motherfucker in.
Right. So, and they put the logic behind it that, you know, no one would actually team up with Mike because you're going up against FRH.
Yeah.
They have a lot of credence to them.
And because Mike Madrigal is Kupal.
Right. So no one liked the guy, and the opponents were not a cakewalk.
Yeah.
Right. So... yeah, the story played out that no one would want to team with him. No one in the right mind would want to team with Mike Madrigal. And it just so happened that there is this guy who isn't in his right mind. So that happened, and I don't know how people feel about it. But me, personally, I think that there was more that the Deadly Sins could have done as a tag team.
All right. I would like to think that the feeling was mutual, at least between you and Mike Madrigal. Because when he came on the podcast, he pretty much expressed the same sentiments.
Right.
But one of the things I enjoyed with your work together was your dynamic with one another and with the crowd.
Because
like, I distinctly remember the dueling chants of, you are Kupal or something, and then you're okay, you're okay.
Yeah.
So how'd you guys deal with that? Like, when you guys would play to the crowd... sinadya niyo ba yun na you would talk about it behind the scenes, or did you just wing it and figure it out when you were there?
It was very natural, actually, because hindi naman namin plinana yung ganong dynamic na medyo... It was early Cesaro and Sheamus, where one would get booed and one would get cheered.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't plan that out, because Mike would always get the Kupal chance, regardless. And then at some point, the Revelation actually, they were the ones who started the whole You're Okay chant.
Mm-hmm.
From out of nowhere, it just came about. And then, so they started going back and forth with the Kupal, you're okay. And we thought that, you know, because it brought a different dynamic to the tag team, that we would play off of that.
Mm-hmm.
So we started going along with the crowd and then, you know, raising hands, whatnot. And it would be weird because I would still be like, I don't understand why there's what they mean. You're okay could be like, you're okay, you're not actually crazy, or you're okay as in you're not kupal, okay ka lang na tao.
So did you ever figure it out?
No. Until now, I don't know what they mean when they say you're okay. But like, okay, fine, I'll just
you,
take
you
it.
You never put your own meaning into it? Because you're the character. You're essentially telling the story.
Yeah, yeah.
So when you're the author of the story, you have the creative control. So like, right. You never took the wheel and like defined how you are okay.
No, I wanted to keep it open-ended just so, you know. But I don't know. Major adventurous, major exciting, major suspenseful. I don't... Pag hindi siya defined, I just feel like there's more that can happen.
All right. That's fair. Yeah. So, okay. I want to ask now about the name. Where does Vlad Sincik as a name actually come from? Because obviously it's not Pinoy.
Yeah, it's definitely not Pinoy. So that came about when I was trying to think up of a gimmick, a character to portray. And then, so I pitched a few of them to the booking team, creative team at that time.
Like, what were your early pitches?
I was thinking something along the lines of, first off, was like a Marty Skrull guy,
uh-huh.
where I would be gentlemanly-like, but I would also be a bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
And then... Other than no, there was only two. There was only that, and then there was Vlad. I just wanted to do something that I felt like wasn't being done, but I felt also that parang they could use a little chaos.
Okay.
In TWR. So I really took inspiration from number one Brian Pillman.
Mm-hmm.
I loved Brian Pillman as a character. I loved the way that he worked. I loved everything that he did leading up towards the end of his career in the WWE, and he carried that over. But he just worked in such a different way where people would actually believe that he was unhinged, that he was the loose cannon, you know, and he was living the gimmick. And I was really drawn to that. Like, how much he believed in what he was doing and how much other people got to believe because of how he was doing it. So that spoke to me a lot. And so I pitched it to the creative team. And I was like, you know what? How about someone who's a little crazy? Like, you know. Oh, no, there was something else. Sorry, there was three. There was Vlad. There was the Marty Skrull gentleman guy. And then there was a religious guy.
Okay, which is not too far off from who you are.
Yeah, yeah. So I wanted to play off of that and kind of be like, maybe I can be a preacher, and then you can put me a tweener maybe, because like I can vilify people and I can also lift them up or something.
Basically, Moises Liwanag before Moises Liwanag.
Before Moises was around, right?
Yeah, yeah. Imagine that. Like, I would have loved to see that play out.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. Because no. I'm a fan of the idea behind the Moises Liwanag character.
Right,
I made that very clear from the moment he debuted. So if that character was in PWR beforehand, right? Like, I would have loved to see it play out to stories.
Mm.
Okay, so wait, how about the name? Saan galing yung Vlad
Sincik? Oh, right. Sorry. Going back to the name. Sincik is actually Norwegian, all right? And it translates to insane.
Okay.
So that runs around the entire character that is Vlad. Vlad is just... Number one, I like Vlad Tepes, Vlad the Impaler.
Uh-huh.
And also Vlad means ruler. So I would like to think that put together, he's the ruler of his own mind. No one really understands how his mind works except for himself.
Okay. I was about to ask if it was like... You know how Tommaso Ciampa is known as a psycho killer, but
yeah.
You can't tell if he's a killer and a psycho or a psycho and a killer.
Right.
But you just define you yeah, ruler yeah. of the insane. So like that question's out the window.
Okay.
Right. So, okay. Let's backtrack a little bit more. Because you were also part of that crew that went to Batanes.
Yes.
So we talked about that with Ralph last week. Lots of colorful stories, but I guess on your end, I just want to know if... I want to know your take on having your first match as a main roster guy in Batanes. Because like, people didn't know this, but that's where you pretty much debuted.
Yes.
Were you already Vlad Sincik at the time, or were you wrestling under a different name?
I was already Vlad.
Okay.
I was already wrestling under the Vlad name, but I didn't portray myself as insane at that time. I wasn't off the deep end. I was just really an angry guy.
Mm-hmm.
I guess generic angry wrestler guy, heel.
Yeah.
Right. That was my first match. Actually, I wasn't supposed to be a wrestler. I agreed to the Batanes show as a referee. They were like, "Oh, we have a lack of officials. There are not a lot of people who are available during the dates." So I was asked to be a referee, and I agreed. And then, like, a few days before, I got a message saying that one of the wrestlers got sick, hospitalized, and they couldn't make it to the show anymore. So I got asked if I wanted to perform, if I was okay with the thought of performing. And to me, of course, I didn't feel like I deserved it. I felt like there was a lot that I still need to learn. There's a long way to go in the training proper. But, like, I wasn't going to pass up on the opportunity either, especially to get exposure, to get a feel of how it is in front of people.
Like, yeah, 15, 20 people.
15 or 20 people. But still, you know, it's a start.
Yeah.
Right, so...
Oh, no, man, you were flown out for your first match.
Right.
You get to say that.
I know, but... Jeez. Well, Ralph already touched upon this. That, you know, we were told beforehand that tickets were scattered, that people were coming in from other islands of Batanes and stuff like that. And then we end up with 15 to 20 people, which is a far cry from what was expected. But a crowd is a crowd.
Uh-huh.
And you work the show regardless.
That's a very mature way of looking at it. Okay, so... you're a legit wrestler now, and, you know, you've got your ring name, you've got your entrance, you were in a tag team, you were part of that crazy-ass all-out war match at Respach. What's the reception been like at home? Say, with your family, of course, with the people you work with, people at church, how did people take it now? Oh, he's a wrestler now. All this crazy shit.
Other than, because people knew from the get-go... Okay, just a little side note. The sentons, the videos of the sentons, the throwbacks that you were referring to, that was actually at church.
No
yeah,
way!
Yeah, that was
Holy
at church.
Shit.
I was jumping off of pool tables onto a pile of beanbags and one of my friends, and that was at church. But anyway, people... I didn't never shied away from telling people or letting people know that I was a fan of wrestling. So... It wasn't a surprise. It didn't come as a surprise to those who knew me, right? Family. You know, family has been very supportive.
That's great, yeah.
Which is, like, surprising considering, like, how it was before, right? Oh, no wrestling. You know, wrestling's bad. And stuff like that. And now it's just like, hey, you know, you're chasing your dreams. You're very passionate about something. And we support you regardless. So it's very heartwarming that there was this change in perspective.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and in school, they introduced me the first time, you know, meeting someone. It was like, oh, he's a professional wrestler. It's always that. That's the go-to icebreaker now for some reason.
And what's the reaction from, like, a new person? Like, say, you know, a 19-year-old sophomore or some shit?
Disbelief. And at the same time, they don't know for sure what is being referred to when we say wrestler.
Uh-huh.
They think it might be MMA,
yeah,
stuff like that. So, but no. Sports entertainment, WWE style wrestling.
Do you ever have, like, a clip from the All Out War match now? Eto?
No, I don't show people, like, when I'm working. I don't know. If people ask to see, I'll show them. But, like, I don't willingly show them because... Wala lang. Parang feeling ko, nagyayabang ako. Pero I don't want to be that guy. Na parang, oh, look at me, I'm a wrestler. Blah, blah, blah.
No way, yeah.
Yeah. Right. Just personal perspective, though.
Yeah, that makes sense. Like, it's not something... I mean, like, you don't go... If you're an accountant, you don't go around trying, oh,
crunching numbers.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
It's kind of like how whenever people say, oh, Stan is a radio DJ, and they go, oh, sample, and I go, bakit? Janitor ka ba? Pasample na, mag-mop ka. Right?
Right.
Kind of stupid.
Yeah, yeah, it is.
So, I on that argument, I think I kind of agree.
Mm.
Okay, so let's get to 2017, and you know, you have this solid solid run, which eventually leads to the All Out War Championship.
Right.
So after the Deadly Sins breakup, you go your separate ways, and you know, you go and chase the Apocalypse's title. So, have you ever been the type to skew towards the hardcore matches? Because at this point, you're pretty much the hardcore guy now, aside from the Apocalypse.
Yeah.
So have you ever skewed towards that with your viewing habits or with how your mind works when you're thinking of matches?
Not so much when I'm thinking of matches, but growing up, I always did enjoy seeing hardcore matches play out or the rules thrown out where there would be stipulations that weapons are allowed. It was always a sight to behold for me. Mm-hmm. And I enjoyed it thoroughly. So right now, I guess, I don't know, because I end up being in the thick of it, right? And it's fun because there's more leeway to do stuff. You're not restricted by the rules of staying inside of the ring, beating the opponent only there, only using your body, throwing weight around, grappling submissions, stuff like that.
You like the use of weapons.
I like the use of weapons.
Even at the cost
use
of, say, blood?
Of weapons, sorry.
even at the cost of blood. Like, you're not queasy when, you know, when it comes to blood?
No,
like,
yeah, not at all.
That's good. Because I'm sure not everyone is, but there's a reason why not everyone is a hardcore wrestler.
Yes.
Right? I, for one, hate blood.
Okay.
So I would never blade.
Right.
Yeah, so like, for you, that's something that doesn't turn you off.
No, not at all.
Right. I'm actually impressed. Because it's like, you're embracing it, diba? And I know that there are wrestlers who would actually stray away from the hardcore match, either because yung philosophy nila is, I'd like to just really be a mat wrestler, or I want to keep it in the ring and all that. But you, with you, it's like, oh yeah, bring on the weapons. Oh, there's a boxing glove with thumbtacks. Let's fucking use it.
Yeah.
What were the crazy weapons from the Vendetta match? Like, I know there was like a stack of tables na nakano sa monoblock, diba?
Yeah,
like
yeah.
A wooden
there
panel
was,
nakapatong din sa monoblock.
Plywood lang yun, nakapatong sa monoblock. Some of the stuff that I brought, one of them that I actually got to use was a Hello Kitty tin mailbox.
Yun. I was gonna ask about
that. Yeah.
That was yours.
That was mine. I brought that. And another thing that I brought that I never got to use during the match was a pink Dora the Explorer lunchbox.
Okay, why?
Why?
Obviously for the comedy.
Yeah. It would be a nice refresher to see, like, because, you know, all the violence and stuff like that. I didn't want to oversaturate. so, you know, I wanted to throw something in there that would just be a source of comedic relief.
All right. And you weren't at Kingdom Come.
Yes.
Yeah, you weren't at Kingdom. Yeah, you had, like, your own personal stuff to attend to. Mm-hmm. But you will be at HHWW.
Absolutely.
Reuniting with Mike Madrigal and the Apocalypse of all people.
Yes.
So that should be a fun little story, especially, you know, watching it all play out, right?
Mm.
So at this point, how would you classify yourself in terms of alignment? Are you a babyface? Are you a heel? Are you the tweener?
From the get-go, I was always, well, creative. Creative told me I'd be a tweener.
Mm-hmm.
Because Vlad is a chaotic neutral, and he only thinks about himself, pretty much.
But isn't Mike Madrigal the same way?
Yes, but at the same time, I think he's more of chaotic evil because, I don't know how to justify this now. We've gone into,
No, this is fun territory. I love dissecting the lawful, chaotic, and,
neutral.
Lawful, neutral, and chaotic, and then yung 3x3 nun.
Right?
So it's actually a fun exercise for me. Like, I'm sure if Ro and Camus were here, they'd have a ball dissecting this as well.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I'm not sure who did this, but someone actually did this for PWR in the past.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So, like, they tried to classify everybody. Lawful good, lawful neutral, lawful evil, all that shit. So
that sounds fun, though.
Diba? It's a fun exercise to actually do if you had to sit down with, like, all the characters. Like, at this point, lawful good is probably only Panzer.
Yeah.
Diba? Not even Migs, because Migs is, like, chaotic good. Diba? Sino pa ba? Who else is, like, like Dax Javiera is a lawful good, I guess.
I guess so. Yeah.
Right?
I don't know where else to qualify him though.
But everyone else is like skewing towards the chaotic side for some reason. Because like, but at least we're not edgelords, right?
Yeah, we're not edgelords.
Okay, so you know, as we're winding down here, the last couple of questions here is, where do you see yourself going as a professional wrestler, and you know, as someone who's found your place in the local community?
I personally don't want to be picky. Like, I will do what booking team asks me to do. I don't want to dictate what I'll do or where I'll go, because I guess, number one, it feels very unprofessional.
Mm-hmm.
And number two, like, also feels very selfish. I want everything to just unfold very organically. So.
But wrestling is also a very ego-driven industry, in the sense that if you don't have that impetus within yourself to want to succeed,
right,
you're going to hold yourself back.
True.
So how do you reconcile that?
It's not like I'm going to stop myself from chasing my dreams or trying to get to the top of the pyramid. it's nothing like that. I will continue to push myself. I will continue to strive for the best that I can achieve and the best that I can put out for the people. But at the same time, I don't want my ego or my pride to be the one that's driving me.
Okay. Is there a story, like a fun little backstage story, or say, just a story of hanging out and drinking with the boys that we haven't touched on, but you kind of want to just share into the ether of the podcast?
Okay, before we go into that, I just want to touch up on something about Batanas, right?
Sure.
Ralph was talking about Bruno Bernardo.
Yeah.
And he was having the hardest time getting to the beachfront.
Yeah.
Because it's elevated, right? The roadside, and then there's a little, I don't know what to call it.
But what, a sandy dune?
Of some sort, yeah. And then the beach. And then it came to a point that he was holding a stick, right?
Yeah.
Parang,
walking stick, yeah.
Oh, and he was trying to usher himself down, right? And he couldn't. And then one of the wrestlers came by, right? They noticed that he was struggling.
Was that you?
They helped him down. That wasn't me.
Okay.
That was actually the Apocalypse, who helped Bruno Bernardo climb down to the beach, who held his hand. And it's just the funniest thing to me when I think about it, that it was him. And that's why everyone at the beach, when we saw that, we were laughing so much harder, because this is the Apocalypse.
Yeah, yeah.
This is the heartless creature from hell, and now he's helping out. Yeah.
Hey, you know what they say, right? Like, hooker with a heart of gold. Parang ganun.
Yeah, I guess.
Not saying that the Apocalypse is a hooker, but you get what I'm trying to say, right?
Yeah, yeah. It was weird, because maybe he has a soft spot for, like, big hairy beasts. I don't know.
All right, right. So, okay. Is there, like, a story from, you know, say, the post-show drinking sessions we have, or, like, any of the training sessions on a Sunday, and, you know, like, just comes to mind to, you know, paint a picture of how the boys are outside of, the boys and the girls. Outside of a show.
Right. Well, there was one of the post shows we had. We went drinking. You were there. Right?
Is this after APCC?
No, this was after one of the shows at Bayanihan.
I think this is post Revo X.
I believe so.
Was this when we had that profound discussion?
Yes,
about God?
Yes, we did. we went into religious and how do you call this?
Philosophical territory.
Philosophical.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There was a lot going on. I don't exactly know how we got to that point.
I don't remember either, but like I was pretty sloshed at that point.
Yeah, yeah, you were.
Thanks to JDL and Billy Swade.
Oh, Billy. Billy is the best.
Yeah.
Gosh, I miss that guy. What else? Just every Sunday after training, right? Some of us go to dinner and we hang out.
Mm.
And also after the shows, one of the post shows again, it was
in the Makati area now.
In the Makati area. We were at Senor Pollo.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then, wow, I'm not even sure I'm allowed to divulge this information.
You can leave out names if it's like a hilarious story. You can leave out the names and let people guess who's involved.
Okay, I'll just say the basic premise of it, that one of the wrestlers admitted that he was attracted to another wrestler of the same gender.
Okay.
And this is not... This guy's straight. He's fully straight. So it just came as a surprise to all of us.
Hey, gender's fluid.
Yeah. And then, so his friend, or one of his close friends...
From the roster.
Yeah, from the roster also, who was like, okay lang yan. Toot. Tanggap ka pa rin namin. Kaibigan ka pa rin. And then, so every now and again, we would bring up, like, uy, tingnan mo si ano, cute kaya. And then it came to a point where he was so tempted to just go up to the person and tell them. But I guess, you know, I don't know if it's better judgment or whatnot, but he opted to not. And until this day, we still have these conversations. Uy, ba't niyo malapitan si ano?
So the object of affection doesn't know that they're
being
desired.
No, they don't know.
Okay.
Completely in the dark.
Oh, God. You know, see, it's these stories. It's the equivalent not of the road stories.
Yeah.
Right? Because we don't have these road stories. Like, my best stories are probably there. The God conversation. I'll never forget that shit. Because, like, that was the first time you and I actually had, like, a decent conversation.
Yeah.
And I was like, pretty much sloshed at that point, right? Like, one of my favorite stories is actually driving with Basti from the airport area all the way up to Eastwood. That was a pretty long-ass drive. And that's where the seeds for Ubusan ng Lahi were first planted.
On Father's Day?
No, way before that.
Oh, before that?
April pa to.
Ah.
So, like, that was the day of the MWF show that we both missed, the very first MWF show.
Right.
So, we did this project. We were part of this movie.
Mm.
So one of the people we both know was shooting this movie. We had cameos in that movie.
Oh, okay, cool.
And I was driving out, and John Sebastian gets in the car with me, and like we were driving long ass drive, and eventually I was like, I kind of want to have a Survivor Series match in PWR. How do we do that? So you know, we just started planting seeds, and we were like, hey, let's revive the feud from last year, and then let's see where it goes from there.
That's good because you already like laid the groundwork the year previous.
Yes.
So there was something to draw off of and build on.
So yeah, it's like one of the favorite comments I get about that storyline is how it was a long, drawn-out story.
Right.
So do you ever have that, parang you know where you want to go direction-wise, so as early as now you're trying to plant seeds here and there to lead to something bigger?
No, I don't think I've reached that point yet. I'm not thinking that far ahead. But maybe somewhere down the line, who knows?
All right. Okay. Of course, HHWW Holding Hands While Wrestling. It is this Sunday at Venue 142 in Katipunan. Again, our guest here, Vlad Sincik, he will not be defending his championship, but he will be tagging with some old friends and enemies in Mike Madrigal and the Apocalypse. And you're going up against the YOLO Twins and Ken Warren.
YOLO Twins and Ken Warren.
Should be a lot of fun, like we talked about earlier.
Yeah.
Right? What are you looking forward to about the venue? Now, you know, wrestling with the view again. Like
wrestling with the view. No, the view is spectacular up there in Venue 142. I mean, it's high enough to let you see the landscape of everything surrounding. And when the sunset comes in, it's really nice. But aside from that, I guess the more intimate feel, because there's not a lot of people due to the nature of the building and the tiles. And it can't hold only a certain weight.
Yeah.
But there being less people there, not to the Batanes levels or the Manila Madness levels.
Oh, Jesus.
But, you know, being a smaller crowd, I guess, helps with how we connect with them. So that's something I'm looking forward to experiencing and seeing how the rest of the crew is going to do as well.
Sayang wala nang Blood Moon, but imagine if you had the literal La Luna Sangre. Oh, man. How would Vlad Sincik react to a La Luna Sangre?
Jeez, I don't even know if Vlad is a fan of the moon. I guess it would be... Because he doesn't get around... He doesn't go out much, right? He doesn't get to go out much, especially at night. He's locked up in his cell or his padded room. So I don't know how he'd react to that. Yeah, Vlad being unstable, unpredictable, who knows? I don't even know how he's going to react to that.
Okay, last question. I'm going to take a page out of Chris Jericho here. What's your favorite match been, as Vlad Sincic?
Favorite match so far still probably is worst venue, Photon, Boiler Room, jeez. But for me, that was my favorite match against FRH. And then I was tagging with Mike, and we were no holds barred, and the people brought weapons.
First ever tag team All Out War.
Yeah. So it was just fun. It was history making. And I guess because also reviews said that we kind of laid the groundwork for what an All Out War match should be. So the standard was set. And yeah, that's something to look back on. And it gives me a lot of pride.
All right. There you go. There you have it. Your current reigning defending All Out War champion, Vlad Sincic. Thanks a lot, buddy.
Thank you for having me at the show.
That was a lot of fun, man. Oh, we went over an hour. Great stuff.
Okay. Well, you know, sad to see that Ro and Raph aren't here. I'm pretty sure, like, the banter would be a lot more playful. And, yeah, there would be a lot more things happening. But, you know, it's always good to have a good conversation with the Mr. Stancy.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. That also brings us to the end of this week's episode of the podcast. No special extra here this week, since it's really just me and Vlad here shooting the shit in the booth. But we do want to remind you to catch us on Sunday, once again, for PWR Live, HHWW, Holding Hands While Wrestling, Venue 142 over in Katipunan, closer to the White Plains side than Ateneo. Tickets, same price as usual, but you can still get your discounts. Just message anybody you know from PWR, and given how tight-knit the community is, we all know somebody who's part of PWR.
Right.
So just shoot us a message. We'll lock you down for a discount. And we'll see you at the venue on Sunday. And if you want to get any more WWE banter, when Ro and Camus get back on the podcast by next week, we'll have something for you. And, of course, you can always go to smarkhenry.ph. Our reviews are there daily. We've also got your regular features from our array of contributors. And in case you've been wondering about that new face that you'll be seeing in PWR with the Smart Henry logo at the end, this person is a Smart Henry scholar. His name is Jan Evander, PWD. Not mind about PWD.
Yes, PWD.
There. Jan Evander, PWD. He's our Smart Henry scholar. For those of you who've been wondering, saan na pupunta yung binabayad sa mga Smart Henry viewing party? Dun yun. We've been using that to fund that scholar and another scholar waiting in the wings.
Right.
So, alam nyo, hindi namin kinukurakot yung pera. We've been doing shit with it. Right? We've been investing that shit for the future of Philippine wrestling with integrity. Right? So there you go. Those are pretty much all the announcements. We'll catch you next week for another episode of the podcast. Hopefully, we'll have our normal reviewers back on and we can dissect HHWW and all the storylines going on with it. In the meantime and in between time, on behalf of my guest tonight, Vlad Sincic, my name is Stan C, and we'd like to thank you for sticking with us through this episode of the podcast and every other episode we've put out. So remember, pooped. Well, I am pooped. Anyway, as Ro likes to say, be humble, and as Kams will say, sit down, or whatever order they say. Sit down, be humble. Peace out. Bye-bye. Glorious. No, I won't give in. I won't give in till I'm victorious. And I will defend. I will defend.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.